Well, now, an underground protest in Turkey. Crowds of people have held an anti-government demonstration in the underground station at Istanbul's Taksim Square. The demonstration was held the day after the station's security guard beat a homeless man, sending him to hospital with a brain hemorrhage. The 20-year-old man had reportedly jumped over the turnstile to board a train without pay. The guard's brutality sparked underground protests at metro stations in Istanbul and Ankara. Local media outlets say one person has been injured in the Ankara protest. In Istanbul, anti-government activists held up pictures of Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan's son Bilal and shouted slogans against the government and condemning the latest corruption scandal.
We want free education, free transportation, free health, like this. All of them human rights. It's all of them our rights.
I'm angry, furious and sad. We feel terrible and the future is grim. It's a bad situation. Nobody is talking about social justice and the corruption will be covered up once again. We've seen it in the past.
Well, let's go to New York and talk to Ian Williams with Foreign Policy in Focus. Welcome, sir. Mr. Williams, first of all, what do you think are the main reasons for the crisis in Turkey?
Well, Happy New Year. The major reasons are we have a historical legacy in Turkey and that there are sort of shifting power blocks. You have the original Atatürkist parties and the deep state. So it's a bad rap for Erdogan's government, actually, the administration, to take the rap for what the priests and the which he's inherited from the old state are doing. And at the same time, of course, his own party is now split into two factions with a somewhat dubious cultist cleric based in America fighting against him. And in these circumstances, it's almost becoming like American or Thai politics, where people are battling each other on any excuse whatsoever. So the protest, a justifiable protest against the brutality of the security guards, is co-opted by anti-Erdogan demonstrators to bring in other issues as well. And that is what happens under these circumstances, that legitimate protests against the excesses of the authorities are then hijacked by one faction or the other. It does worry me that you might have a Thai situation of something like in Thailand, where sort of half the population doesn't accept the legitimacy of a decision made by the other half. But we have to remember that Prime Minister Erdogan has not only had a successful economy, many years of economic growth through a crisis, he is also leading in the polls, as I understand. So the protests are significant, and he should take notice of them. He should certainly pay attention to the social justice aspects, and he certainly should try to control corruption in his own party. But this doesn't make the fact that there is a demonstration, no matter how justified, doesn't delegitimize the government, which was elected with a huge majority, and it currently looks like it might get re-elected.
And so how much of an impact do you think the current crisis would have on Turkey's economy and, of course, its EU accession bids?
Well, I understand the lira, the Turkish currency, is at a record low. But the economy is still doing quite well. You know, the problem with foreign capital is that it's very fickle and people flow in and out of countries on whims and rumours without necessarily looking at the substantial progress of the economy. But I have to say that one of the worst things here has been the European Union's attitude to Turkey, which smacks of both racism and Islamophobia on the part of some countries who have basically, they allowed Greece in when it was manifestly and woefully unprepared for membership economically, socially, and many other ways. And they've insisted on Turkey meeting all sorts of hurdles, for example, its treatment of the Kurds, its treatment of religious minorities. But then they haven't rewarded Turkey for doing this.
Right.
There are still some serious gaps in Turkey's policies before it meets European Union criteria, but they can be worked with. But there's no incentive for any Turkish government to go along with the European Union if you have governments and politicians jumping up and down saying, on no account, not in my lifetime will Turkey be admitted.
Right.
And, you know, Turkey is under Erdogan in particular, has become the major regional powerhouse. It's played a relatively constructive role in the region. It attempts to broker peace in Syria and with Iran, and it should not be neglected, and it should get some satisfaction from the European Union. And I think that reflects possibly on the streets as well. If Erdogan could come back and say, look, the European Union is taking it seriously, then he might be able to talk down at least some of the factions opposing him.
All right, Mr. Williams, we'll leave it there for the time. Many thanks to Ian Williams with Foreign Policy in Focus from New York.